أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page 65 of the Quran, which is in the fourth juz, Surah Ali Imran. In the previous couple of episodes, we've been speaking about some of the traits and attributes that Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned concerning the believers. And foremost amongst them is their attribute of calling others to Allah Azza wa Jalla, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that this is something which amongst the previous nations, those prophets and messengers had believers in their nations and disbelievers. And for those who were believers of those messengers and in those prophets at their time, Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward them and give them their full reward and honor them also. But obviously after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, everyone is obligated to follow his path. Today we begin with verse 116 from Surah Ali Imran, and the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَنْ تُغْنِيَ عَنْهُمْ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. As for those who disbelieve, neither their possessions nor their children will help them against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be companions in the fire there to remain. So in the previous verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned to us that there are amongst the people of the scripture and others who came before them, those who were believers and those who were disbelievers. And as we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and worship Him alone and follow that which they were obligated to follow, whether that's the previous nations, so they follow their previous prophets at their time when they're living, or for anyone that comes after the time of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that they follow him, Allah Azza wa Jal, whoever does so, will honor them and reward them. Likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal then says in this verse, in verse 116, and as for those who disbelieve, then nothing will come to their avail, nothing will help them when it comes to them standing before Allah Azza wa Jal to be judged, neither their possessions nor their children. And that is because often people are one of the major temptations of the dunya, and one of the major things that people think will give them comfort or is a measure of their success is either what they own in terms of material possessions, that's wealth, that's property, that's land, that's cars, and so on and so forth, or it is their children and their family. Those two things you will often see is what people seek comfort in or seek or have as a measure of their success. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us elsewhere in the Quran that they can be a fitna. There is good within these things that they can be used in a way that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, that brings a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, those two things can also become a fitna, a trial and a test, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Indeed, within your wealth, your children, there is a trial. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًّا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Or you who believe, indeed, within your spouses, your children, there are enemies to you, so beware. And that's because sometimes it is our children that cause us to be misled and cause us to be misguided. And sometimes it is our wealth that causes us to do haram and to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these people who spent their whole life accumulating wealth, growing their families, thinking that this is their measure of success and their way of salvation, Allah says on Yawmul Qiyamah, it will not benefit them in any way. On the Day of Judgment, they will not come to their aid when it comes to standing before Allah Azza wa Jalla and being held to account. وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Rather, these are the people of the fire, they will remain therein. In verse 117, Allah Azza wa Jalla then puts forth or strikes for us a parable, puts forth for us a parable regarding this. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
مثل ما ينفقون في هذه الحياة الدنيا كمثل ريح فيها صر أصابت حرث قوم
كمثل ريح فيها صر أصابت حرث قوم ظلموا أنفسهم فأهلكت وما ظلمهم الله ولكن أنفسهم يظلمون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the example of those who give away things in this life, or the example of that which they spend in this life, is like the example of a frosty wind that strikes and destroys the harvest of people who have wronged themselves. It was not Allah Azza wa Jalla who wronged them, but rather it was they who wronged themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the previous verse 116 that these people have spent their whole life accumulating the dunya, spending that wealth in whatever which way they pleased, and part of that spending of their wealth was that they deterred other people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that all of this wealth that is accumulated, all of this spending that they did upon haram and that which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 117 sets forth a parable for it. And the parable is مَثَلُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The parable or the example of that which they spend in this life, كَمَثَلِ رِيح, is like the example of the violent wind. A rih is a wind. Fiha sir. Within it there is a violence. Either it is a frosty wind or a wind that is carries extreme heat with it. It is essentially a destructive type of wind. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أصابت حرث قوم. And then it comes to the harvest, the crops of a people, and it wipes it out, it destroys it. Now we know, for example, that Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran often gives examples when it comes to farming and agriculture, because amongst the Arabs, these were things that they were very familiar with. In fact, not only amongst the Arabs, but amongst many of the people of the world until, you know, very relatively recently, with the Industrial Revolution, when people kind of started to move away generally from things like farming. Otherwise, it was something which was very mass. Most people were familiar with the concepts of farming because that is how they got their food and how they sourced their food in a real way. As for us now, we are a number of steps removed from that process, and so not many of us are familiar with this. But anyone, for example, that watches anything concerning farming and so on will know that one of the major issues that they have to contend with as farmers is adverse weather. Adverse weather in terms of a lack of rain or too much rain, frost or weather conditions and seasons that are out of place. And so one of the things that can come and destroy crops is frost and overheating those crops and severe winds that come and they destroy the crops of a people. Allah Azza wa Jalla says this is the example of those who spend in this world. On the face of it, it looks amazing. On the face of it, those crops are there, they look ripe, they look good, that's what it is. But in a single moment, it will be wiped clean. In a single moment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will cause it all to be rendered null and void. Like the wind that comes and within a single moment or within a very short space of time, it destroys all of that crop, all of that harvest. That is essentially what will happen to these people. They accumulate everything in the dunya, and they accumulate it all, but it will have no benefit for them in the next life. It will completely be destroyed. Whether that's at the time of death, because once they die, they cannot benefit from it, or whether it is in terms of the bigger destruction that will take place towards Yawmul Qiyamah. They come to a group of people, this wind comes to a group of people that have oppressed themselves and it destroys it. وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهِ And Allah Azza wa Jalla did not oppress them by doing this. وَلَكِنْ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ But they oppress themselves. And they continue to oppress themselves because they turn away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 118, Allah Azza wa Jalla then continues and he says,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر قد بينا لكم الآيات إن كنتم تعقلون.
Oh, you who believe, do not take as your allies or for those who you are intimate with such outsiders as spare no effort to ruin you and want to see you suffer. Their hatred is evident from their mouths, but what their hearts conceal is far worse. We have made our revelations clear for you. Will you not then use your reason? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, do not take as your bitana. Bitana is a group of allies or the group that you seek comfort in or the group that you seek support from. This is what we call in Arabic the word bitana. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that don't take as your close friends as your close allies, as these helpers, as your support network, those people who want nothing for you except ruin, and they want to see you suffer. And this is something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions are being told about, because very soon we will come now to the passages, perhaps from the next episode onwards, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will start to speak about the Battle of Uhud with some mention of the Battle of Badr. And when a community or a people or a nation are in a state of difficulty, they're in a state of real difficulty, where they're being attacked and they have enemies and they're being oppressed and so on, it is very tempting to seek help and seek alliances. And sometimes those alliances are good, they're beneficial, they're permissible, but sometimes the people that you see around you that you may want to take in as your allies and your friends are actually worse for you in terms of the enmity towards you and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the believers concerning this issue. He says, don't take from amongst the allies believe people who they actually want to see your khabal, your ruin. And they want to see waddu ma'anittum, they want to see you suffer. They hope and they long for your suffering and therefore for your misery and for your defeat. And that is an important principle to remember, not only in terms of the wider level or the greater level, for example, of the ummah and the leader of the Muslims and so on and so forth, but even on an individual level. Sometimes when we're struggling, sometimes when our iman is weak, sometimes when we're finding it difficult to leave certain sins and so on, it is sometimes and often the case that we reach out to people who are engaged in those sins, who are just as weak in their iman as us, and we expect them to be our support network. So for example, someone who's struggling with the salah, doesn't pray five times a day, finds it difficult to pray, finds it difficult to remember, to motivate themselves, for you to surround yourself with people who are similar like you, who don't pray, negligent of the salah, don't really care about the salah, isn't really going to help you in terms of expanding and in terms of improving. Likewise, someone, for example, who's struggling with certain sins in terms of leaving them off, they're looking at things that are haram, doing things that are haram, eating, consuming things that are haram, transacting in ways that are haram. One of the worst ways is to look for then a support network that is engaged in the same level of haram as you are in. But actually what you want to do is remove yourself from their influence. Remove yourself from that circle of friends. Remove yourself from those people and look out and seek those people that will remind you, that will advise you, that will motivate and encourage you to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do the good and forbid the evil. And this is very similar in some ways to the verse that we mentioned in the previous episode, when Allah Azza wa Jalla praises this ummah for being an ummah that enjoins the good and forbids the evil. Constantly when you're with people who are holding themselves to a higher standard in terms of their iman and Islam, in terms of their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of their piety and their character, that is something which builds you up just as it like it does in any part of life. If you're surrounded with people who are good in their careers, good in their studies, good in whichever sphere you're in, that's something which will influence you, it rubs off on you, it motivates you. Some of that comes to you just simply by being in their company and spending time with them. And the same goes with this concept of allies, friendship, brotherhood. When you're with people that are good and upon good and seeking to do good, then it is something which inspires you and motivates you to do the same. But if you're with people who don't do that, people who are negligent of Allah Azza wa Jalla, heedless of their obligations and their responsibilities, people who are disrespectful, people who are rude, people who are crude, people who don't really understand the character of the Muslim and the way that they should be and behave, then that's also going to have an impact upon you. And that is why the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we know, that everyone is upon the religion of their close friend. So be careful who you choose as your friends. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking though about a wider level, a greater level, and that is that the believers should not take those people likewise who only want to seek their ruin and want to seek their harm. قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِيمُ Allah Azza wa Jal says, because their hatred is evident from their mouths, what they say, what they speak. Now remember that the Muslims lived in a time when, yes, they were being persecuted and they also had many enemies across Arabia. But remember, for many of those companions, many of those enemies were related to them. Their family members, their relatives, their friends, their neighbors, they're people who are from the same tribe or the same clan. They're people that they have grown up with and have known. And so when you have that connection with people, then sometimes you think that they will be your support network. Or you want to go and seek some type of support and help from them. Allah Azza wa Jal says the greatest sign that these people want your harm and want ruin for you is that you can see from the very words that they utter, from the words and statements that they make, from their mouths, that they have nothing except hatred for you. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, and their reality is even worse. وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. And that which they conceal in their hearts is far worse. So yes, what they say is bad, but what they feel in terms of their heart and what they're willing to do and intending to do is far worse. قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We have made our revelations clear for you. Will you not then use reason? Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 119,
هَا أَنْتُمْ أُولَاءِ تُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِبُّونَكُمْ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ كُلِّهِ وَإِذَا لَقُوكُمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا عَضُّوا عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَنَامِلَ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ قُلْ مُوتُوا بِغَيْظِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ.
This is how it is. Here you are loving them, but they do not love you. You believe in all of the scriptures, and when they meet you, they say, "We believe," but when they are alone, they bite their fingertips in rage at you. They say, die of rage. Say to them, die of rage if you wish. Indeed, Allah knows exactly what is in your hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reality of these people. And that is that these people, even if you love them, they won't love you. Even if you try to make allies of them and supporters of them, they are not your true allies and they are not your true supporters. And that is something which is evident as we see in the life and the times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, as we know, he signed a number of treaties and pacts with the tribes that lived around and in and around Medina that were non-Muslim tribes. They lived there, the Bani Qurayza, the Banu Nadir, the Banu Qaynuqa. These were people who lived in and around Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed their right to live there. And he made a pact with them. Don't help our enemies against us. We won't help any enemy against you. You should be people because we live in the same land. We have shared interests. We are neighbors to one another. We should be people, therefore, who help one another in this way. But we know the reality is that they deceived and were treacherous in those pacts, and they broke their words. And that is why, as we know, after the battle of the Ahzab, the battle of the Confederate armies that came, when the treaty was broken, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ruled concerning them, and he exiled them from the city of Medina. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, so this is how it is. Here you are loving them, وَلَا يُحِبُّونَكُمْ, but they don't love you. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ كُلِّهِ, and you believe in all of the messages that they were given as well. You believe in the books that they were given. You believe in their scriptures, in their prophets, in their messengers. But do they believe in your scripture? You believe in Isa, you believe in Musa, you believe in Dawood and Sulaiman and Zakariya and Yahya, you believe in the Torah and the Injil, you believe in the Psalms of Dawood alayhi salam, the Zabur, but do they believe in the Quran? Do they believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So it's not equal. You're loving them, but they don't love you. You believe in everything that was sent to them, but they reject what you believe in terms of the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is why those people, they have a hypocrisy in your heart. وَإِذَا لَقُوكُمْ قَالُوا آمَنَّا, when they are with you, they say, we believe, we're with you, we're supporting you. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا عَضُّوا عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَنَامِلَ مِنَ الْغَيْضِ, but when they leave you and they're alone, they bite onto their hands or their fingertips out of rage, meaning they're so angry that they're biting on their fingers to contain the anger within them. That is how much rage and hatred that they have towards you, meaning the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the companions of that time. Say to them, قُلْ مُوتُوا بِغَيْظِكُمْ, say, die of that rage if you wish, meaning that that's how you feel, and that's because of your disbelief and your rejection, then that will cause your own demise. You will die as a result of that rage. It will lead to your destruction. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla is all-knowing of that which is contained within the hearts. In the final verse that we will take in today's episode, verse 120, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِن تَمْسَسْكُمْ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَفْرَحُوا بِهَا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا. They grieve at any good that befalls you and rejoice at your misfortunes, But if you are steadfast and conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, their scheming will not harm you in the least. Indeed, Allah encircles everything that they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to continue to describe these people, and he says that from their attributes, so we know that from the attributes Allah Azza wa Jal says that there are people who want to see your suffering. From the attributes is that they want to see your ruin. From the attributes is that what they say shows clearly their enmity and hatred towards you. And that which they conceal is far worse. From the attributes Allah Azza wa Jal says is that they don't love you. They don't like you. From their attributes is that they're hypocritical. That they may claim to be with you, but when they're alone, their rage and their pent-up enmity and hatred towards you is something which is great. And from the attributes is that which Allah Azza wa Jal mentions here in verse 120, and that is that if any good comes to you, they become upset. إِن تَمْسَسْكُمْ حَسَنَةٌ تَسُؤْهُمْ. It harms them to see you victorious. It harms them to see you. It harms them to see you prospering. It harms them to see you successful. وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَفْرَحُ بِهَا. But when some harm or misfortune befalls you, they rejoice and they're happy. And that is therefore someone who doesn't truly want good for you. And if you're therefore surrounded even in your own life by friends, by people, as we said at the individual level, by friends, by people who when some good comes to you, they're not really happy for you. And when some evil and misfortune befalls you, they're extremely happy, they rejoice in that, they seem to take some type of glee from it and some happiness from it. That is a sign of someone who's insincere. A sign of someone who doesn't really love you or want good for you. Because the one who really loves good is, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, none of you truly believe until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. I want to be successful. I want my brothers to be successful. I want to have Jannah. I want the Muslims to have Jannah. I want my children to memorize the Quran. But I want the children of everyone else around me also to memorize the Quran. And this thing about that the dunya does within us, where it makes us competitive to the extent that I want it just for me, no one else. And if I have it, that means you can't have it. Because if you have it, that means that I can't have it. This is not a concept that the Muslim should be familiar with or a mindset that the Muslim should have. Rather, we have this abundance mentality that Allah Azza wa Jal owns the treasures of the heavens and the earth, and that His treasures are never exhausting, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah gives you prosperity, gives you success, gives you salvation, gives you a good family, a good house, money and wealth and so on, that doesn't mean that there's not enough left for me or for someone else, but there is enough for everyone. And if Allah Azza wa Jal chooses to give it to one of us over the other due to His wisdom, then we're happy for our brothers and sisters, and we make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal gives them success, just as they make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us success and makes us prosperous as well. But if that person doesn't do that, they're people who don't like it when you're having good times, when they're happy when you're having bad times, that is a sign of their evil and a sign of their insincerity. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal then says, وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. But if you're in that position with these people, then be steadfast and be people of taqwa, people who are mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal, conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you're surrounded by those people, you have to be patient. You have to be strong in your iman, strong in your faith, strong in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to be mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal, because it is very easy then to stray. It is very easy then to be tempted. And it is very easy to be deceived by those different forces. But if you're people who are mindful of Allah, you're conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, you're constantly going to be focusing on what does Allah want from me? What is most pleasing from Allah Azza wa Jal? What will bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says, if you do this, you have the sabr, you have taqwa, you're steadfast, you're mindful and conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, you have piety, لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا. No matter what they plan, what they scheme, it will never harm you in the least. Because who can possibly come against you or stand against you if Allah Azza wa Jal is with you? And that is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the famous hadith to his cousin Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, and know that if all of the people were to unite in order to oppose you, then they couldn't harm you with anything except that which Allah Azza wa Jal has already decreed would happen upon you. They can't do anything. All of the people unite, all of them come together, and all of them cooperate in order to harm you. They can only do that which Allah has decreed for you already. If Allah wants you to be harmed, you'll be harmed. But if Allah is with you and He decrees that you will not be harmed, you will not be harmed. And that is why after this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, because those are very important occasions in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the history of the Muslims, and they contain many lessons. Inna Allaha bima ya'maluna muhit. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla is all-knowing, encircles everything that they do. And as I said, then from this point onwards, we have one verse left on this page, but we will leave that, inshallah ta'ala, to the next episode, because it is connected to the forthcoming verses. The passages now begin to speak about these two battles, but primarily the Battle of Uhud, which is the primary focus of Surah Ali Imran. But there is some also hint and some indication of Surah of the Battle of Badr. But the vast majority of this Surah now will be dedicated to the Battle of Uhud and the many lessons that can be derived from it and the many lessons learned. And from the greatest of those lessons is that which Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us here, that if you're people of patience, steadfastness, people of taqwa, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is with you. And even in the most difficult of circumstances, when there is harm that comes to you, when you are defeated, when you suffer personal calamity and personal hardship and strife, if you are people of steadfastness and taqwa, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is with you. He will keep you safe, and He will honor you, and He will reward you, and He will allow you to overcome those challenges and to continue to go from strength to strength. So with that, inshallah ta'ala, we will conclude today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.